Jesus. Amen. Today is the second Sunday of Easter, the eighth of the great 50 days of Easter. And on this day, every year we get the same reading from John chapter 20, kind of a two-part reading. The first part is when Jesus on Easter evening appears to his company of disciples. They're gathered, we're told, in a locked room, locked in there with their fears and their doubts and their shames or whatever. And Jesus comes in the midst of them through the locked doors, says, "Peace be with you." Says, "Peace be with you," and then blows on them. Blows on them as to blow away their fears and their doubts and the shames. Blows on them the Holy Spirit and assurance and faith and forgiveness, and then sends them out to blow that same grace and forgiveness and hope and fearlessness and all they might find. And then the second part, that's the story of the so-called doubting Thomas. Thomas, who for whatever reason was not present there, maybe he was tougher, maybe he fought with them, maybe he was on a Starbucks run or something, we don't know, but for whatever reason, he missed out on Jesus and the blowing and the forgiveness and the Holy Spirit, and he's not there. He's not there, and then tells the disciples the reason he's called Doubting Thomas, maybe even better, Unbelieving Thomas, for what he famously says, "Unless I see in his hands the marks of the nails and place my fingers into the mark of his nails and place my hand into his side, I will never." Happens 8 days later, when Thomas is there. Well, that's what's depicted, a little insert there. I see some people reaching for it. Yeah, there's a handout today. What's depicted in the painting on the handout there this morning, an image I want to spend some time with because I think it's very powerful. Plenty of paintings of this particular scene, but this one is called The Incredulity of Thomas. It's painted by the Italian Baroque artist Caravaggio in 1602. If you ever happen to be in Potsdam in Germany or Florence in Italy, there's actually two versions of this painting. Perhaps you can see the original. You've got Thomas there. That's Thomas right smack in the middle of the painting. You've got what I presume is Peter and John kind of looking over his shoulder. Then the risen Jesus there, guiding Thomas' finger into this very realistic-looking wound. In some paintings of the day, there's kind of a little smudge, but this one is super realistic. You can't maybe see it so much on the insert, but if you go home and Google one of the high-definition versions and zoom in on it, you can see just how real and realistic it is. There's a lot going on in the painting, but the two central figures, definitely Thomas and Jesus. I think we can see ourselves in Jesus, the gospel message, or see ourselves in Thomas, rather, see the Easter gospel in Jesus. You look at Thomas. See his robe is torn in the shoulder there. You may not be able to see it again so much in this little miniaturized insert, but again, if you go home and blow up the high-def version, look at his hands. You see how grimy his hands are, that there's dirt underneath his hands, his hair is disheveled. It's like the picture of someone who hasn't changed their clothes or maybe even bathed in a whole week. Where has Thomas been? What's he been up to for the last 8 days? Has he been wandering the streets? Has he been bouncing from bar to bar, wondering what in the world he is going to do? And then his face, what does that look on his face? Is it fear? Is it amazement? Is it, am I dreaming? Or can I even trust my hands and my eyes? Is it wondering what the harder thing to believe is, that Jesus who was dead is alive, or that this Jesus could come back in compassion to a doubting unbeliever like Thomas? Come back to a doubting unbeliever like you, me. believer, I don't mean to insult you, but instead to recognize that faith often comes hard. And the more than simply believers, most of us at best are mixes of believer and unbeliever. You might be tempted to dismiss Thomas or make some sort of moralistic message out of Thomas' story. Now, don't be a doubting Thomas. But the thing about doubts is they're not something like having a cookie after the service. It's not something you just decide to have or not to have. It's more like having poor eyesight or a bad back. There are remedies, but there's no sure thing, and you might just be stuck with them. The fact of the matter is, all of us have our doubts. All of our trusts are tiny. All of our faiths are fickle. I love the fact that in the picture there, it's not just Thomas and Jesus, but that he puts, looking over Thomas' shoulder, Peter and John. Looking over his shoulder with kind of the same face as Thomas, the very two people who were there just 8 days before. Who had seen it, who had heard the peace of Jesus, who had seen the wounds and all that, but just 8 days later, they're confused, they're wondering, they're asking themselves, can I trust this guy? On this question of whether or not you are a believer or not, you know there's a school of thought, actually a school of philosophical thought called pragmatism that has something they call the test of belief. And they say the test of belief is not whether you tell me whether you believe something or not, but a belief is a propensity to act given certain circumstances. A propensity to act given certain circumstances. So the way I can tell if you believe something is that when certain circumstances present, you will act in a certain way. That might sound kind of goofy or academic or whatever, but it's pretty easy. I've got a friend, his name's Rick, he's a pilot. I like Rick. Trust him with a lot of things, but he's kind of weird sometimes. He's kind of crazy, the kind of the Rick I know. And if I were to tell Rick, I trust you as a pilot, he might say, well, that's nice. But then the pragmatist will say, then why, when you got to American Airlines and you saw Rick was the pilot, you turned the other way? See? My actions. Or I might say, you know, I really trust the Ford Motor Company. But the pragmatist will only come to me and say, I will only know if you trust the Ford Motor Company is when you go out to get in your Ford Motor Company created car, whether you are sure that the little tiny explosions that go underneath the hood don't explode onto you and you actually get into the car. You might say you trust in gravity, but I only know if you trust in gravity when I see what you do when you come to a cliff, and whether you keep walking or come down or stop. And so the pragmatist, when you're thinking of Jesus, whether we believe in him, might make us a little uncomfortable, but they might come and ask, do you believe Jesus to provide for your every need? You might say, well, I'm a Christian. I'm supposed to believe that stuff. Of course I believe that Jesus will provide for my every need. But then the snarky pragmatist will come back and says, well, I don't think so. Because if you believe that, you wouldn't be so stingy with your stuff. Or he might say, do you believe that the blood of Jesus cleanses not just your own sins, but the sins of the whole world? It's right there in the Bible. And you might say, well, of course it's in the Bible. I believe that. But then the pragmatist might come back and say, I don't think you believe that, because if you did, you wouldn't be so good at holding on to the sins of others. Or do you believe that you are the most important thing about you is that you are a beloved child of God, that you are putting on a show for a one-person audience, which is your heavenly Father? You would say, yeah, I believe that. But then the pragmatist says, then why are you so concerned about your reputation or being such a big deal? You can see where this goes. Now, don't try to say this sort of things to try to convince you or to convince myself that you are not a believer, but rather to say, to convince you that you are both a believer and an unbeliever. That all of us are right there with Thomas. That when confronted with Jesus, we are there with him with eyes full of wonder and fear. With both amazement and, can it possibly be? With, I want it to be true, but can I really trust it? What I most care about or like about this painting, so much in it. What I most love about this incredulity of Thomas is that the Jesus depicted in the painting doesn't really seem to care about the answers to those questions. You look at Jesus there, and this is where Caravaggio, he doesn't really depart from the text, but he at least fills in some gaps with things that aren't actually there in John. You see, it's Jesus. There's not a Jesus there scoffing at Thomas. There's not a Jesus saying to Thomas, you know, it's decision time now, buddy. Believe or don't. It's trust or burn. There's none of that. There's this Jesus with this amazing tenderness in his eyes. I love that face. Again, go home and look at it in high definition. If you're like me, you'll find that's the face that when you see Jesus face to face, that's the one you want to see. It's the face of Jesus with a gentle face, but a firm hand. That's the coolest thing about the painting, I think, that this Jesus himself is taking his hand, taking his own wounded hand, and grasping onto the hand of Thomas, whatever is in it. I imagine Jesus taking Thomas' hand and giving it as if a little shake, to let loose whatever it's holding on to, whatever doubts or shames or sins or unbelief it might have, giving them a little shake, and then gently but firmly kind of pulling it towards his side, pulling it toward the wound that says, whatever you think, believe it or not, I am for you. Believe it or not, I am for you. I had the sermon done already, but then at Lowe's the other day, I saw this bumper sticker, so the sermon's an extra 30 seconds long, sorry. Or maybe, you're welcome. But it was a bumper sticker, and it said, the good thing about science is it's true whether you believe it or not. And it's Neil Tyson, why can't remember his name? Just something, you know what I'm talking about. Science guy. Which I thought of myself as a fine sentiment. The good thing about science is it's true whether you believe it or not. I mean, he's probably trying to be snarky with somebody, but that's fine sentiment. But then I thought to myself, I'd like the person driving that car more if they kept that bumper sticker and put on the other side of the car another bumper sticker that said this: the good thing about the love of God is it's true whether you believe it or not. See, both statements are true there. I think that's what I see in that picture, what Caravaggio is saying. Jesus guiding Thomas' hand and ours is saying that I am risen for you and that I am for you, whether you believe it or not. You know, once in a while, I'll be visiting a choosing older person. Maybe they can't make it to church, and sometimes even near death. And a person knows it. Death is close. And it's a privilege to be there at that time. And I'll say something to the effect. I'll say, you know, Jesus loves you no matter what. He died and he rose for you. He's covered all your sins, and soon you will see him face to face. Mildred, I'll call her Mildred. You know Mildred's here, okay. Mildred, or could be. And I'll say, Jesus covered all your sins. You're going to see him, what joy. And Mildred will say, oh, I sure hope so. And you know, that makes me a little hurt. I don't say it out loud, but I'm sometimes thinking to myself, I hope so. I hope so. You've been coming to church for 87 years. You heard 5,000 sermons. You sung through the hymnal a dozen times. You've eaten loaf upon loaf and gallon upon gallon of the body and blood of Jesus. And the best you can come up with is, I hope so, Mildred. Now, fortunately, I don't say that. If the Holy Spirit is having his way with me, my response is something like this. It's something like, I understand, Mildred. Believing is hard. The devil's working overtime on you. I understand, Mildred, faith is hard, but Jesus isn't. Faith is hard, but Jesus isn't. Faith is hard, but Jesus is gentle. And then I pull out my phone and say, hey, Mildred, look at this picture from this artist 4 centuries ago in Caravaggio. See how he's grabbing Thomas' hand. Thomas, he hopes so too. But on the other side, there's this beautiful Jesus. See how gentle Jesus is. See those gentle eyes. See the light streaming across his resurrected body. Because faith is hard. Let's pray now, Mildred, that Jesus would take your hand too. That Jesus would take your hand too and give it a little shake. And then shake from it all your fears and all your doubts and all your wonders and all your sins. That he'd give it a little shake. And he'd grab it gently but firmly. And he'd pull your hand closer and closer into the wound of Jesus. Says, no matter what, Jesus is for you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please stand. We confess our faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead, the life of the world to come. Amen. Gracious God, your love for us is true, whether we believe it or not. That's a good thing, because oftentimes faith comes hard. When it does, when we doubt, when our hearts and hands are full of doubts and fears, take our hands, give them a little shake, and guide them to the wounds of Jesus. Send us your Holy Spirit to guide us to the risen Jesus, who assuages all doubts, calms all fears, and forgives all sins. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, everyone doubts, and everyone fears, and everyone needs Jesus. Use this congregation and every member of it to be the hands and the mouths that lead doubters and fearers to Jesus. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, you have instituted authorities to carry out your justice. Bless all who make, administer, and judge the laws of our land. Give them wisdom, integrity, and honor to serve according to your will. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, thank you for artists who image you in creating new and beautiful things. Thank you especially for those whose works preach the gospel in picture, poem, and song. Raise up more of them and inspire your church to support them, that there might be ever new means of publishing your love and drawing people to you. Lord, in your mercy. As your son's wounds brought gladness and peace to the troubled disciples, give your presence and comfort, give your healing to all those who are troubled or hurting in our midst in any way. Pray for Russell, and Mary, and Doug, and Maura, Laura Jean, for Patty, for Dawn. Comfort all those who weep. We pray for those who wander, who are lost and hurting, whom you are seeking. We pray especially for Jacob, that you would hunt him down, like that you grabbed onto Thomas' hand, that you would grab onto his hand, whatever he's going through, and draw it to you. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Father, we pray for Megan. We give thanks for her. Thank you for your love for her, for your faithfulness to her on her birthday. Make her especially aware of that. Lord, in your mercy. Father of the risen Christ, you give us the crucified and risen body and blood of our Lord in this Holy Supper today. Let us taste that the Lord is good and continually grow unto his salvation. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you that out of your indescribable grace, for the sake of your Son, you have given us the Holy Gospel and instituted the blessed sacraments, that through them we may have comfort and the forgiveness of sin. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may heartily believe your word, and through the holy sacraments establish our faith day by day until at last we obtain eternal salvation. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We share a sign of God's peace with one another. Peace be with you. We worship God with our offering. Yeah.